Friends, roadies, countrymen, and all you fantastic folk around the globe that are listening. Yes, again, it's me, J.E., John Edmund, podcasting out of Africa. This week, I'd like to go back in time, long before I was born, back in time to 1898, when my father, Harry Edmund, was born. He was born in a rugged village called Wanlock Head, in the Lowther Hills of Scotland. In fact, the village is the highest village in Scotland. It was a lead mining community and had been since Roman times. My dad Harry wanted to be a mining engineer. My grandfather, being the headmaster of the Duke of Buccleuch school in the town, and my grandmother being a teacher, they were very higher education exponents. So his elder brothers, Balmano and George, had both Edinburgh University education. Balmano, a medical doctor, and George, a mechanical engineer. And as I said, Harry dearly wanted to be a mining engineer. Initially, he was sent down the mine to work and to gain first-hand information about being a miner and before going to university. But then came the 1914-18 war, the First World War. Of course, his two brothers went straight into the Scottish regiments. Harry twice tried to enlist at 16 years of age. Initially, he was sent packing by the Royal Scots Regiment. But the Highland Light Infantry was a no-nonsense Glasgow regiment. They never asked any questions, and they signed him up. So off to France he went. And later in the war, he was wounded on the 23rd of March, 1918. As soon as he recovered, a few months later, he was sent back to the front and was again wounded on the 23rd of August, 1918. During that action, he was commended for his bravery for saving his commanding officer, a Major Donnelly. His two brothers also were commended for bravery, Balmano receiving the Military Cross. After the war, Harry could not go to university, so he took up a trade and worked at the renowned John Brown Shipyard in Glasgow. But Africa was calling the family. His older brother Balmano went off to East Africa to work for the government during a smallpox epidemic in Tanganyika. Tanganyika was their newly acquired colony from Germany, now known as Tanzania. Harry followed his brother to Africa and traversed much of the country, working as a recruitment officer for folk to work on the Mwanza Railway, which linked Tanganyika with Lake Victoria. He worked there for a while, but south was calling, and safari style with porters walked down the shores of Lake Tanganyika all the way to Abercorn in northern Rhodesia. I might add that he never carried a rifle, as having been shot twice himself, abhorred the thought of killing an animal or anybody for that matter. He eventually made his way to a place called Broken Hill and immediately got employment on the lead and zinc mine. Malaria was rife. In those days, wow, it was bad. And he contracted the worst form of malaria called Blackwater Fever. He was evacuated to Bulawayo in southern Rhodesia, and after recovering, found work at Shabani Asbestos Mine. The copper mines in northern Rhodesia needed construction engineers, and luckily he found work. It was very short-lived, for then came the Great Depression. With mining in his blood, he decided to return to Tanganyika, to newly discovered gold deposits at a place called the Lupa, outside a town called Mbeya. He thought he would try his luck at panning gold. But after a while, the gold ran out, and he sold his picks and pans to a lady called Rose, who was the proprietress of the local guest house. What she was going to do with the pots and picks and pans, nobody knows. But off he wandered into the sunset, back through Tanganyika, crossed the lake to the Belgian Congo, where he wandered around looking for that dream. But the copper mines in northern Rhodesia were calling him, and he made his way back there to the copper belt, On the train, the Katanga Railway train, an old steam-driven machine in those days, that's for sure. There was still no work, so he put his name down and with his last £14 bought a passage back to Scotland. After a couple of years, Africa called, and back to Rhodesia, to Bulawayo, he went. Work was still very hard to get, but he found work at an essential place called the Cold Storage Commission. You see, Southern Rhodesia was a big cattle farming community, and they had to have cold storage for all the beef that they were exporting. He was the only person in Rhodesia that knew anything about refrigeration, so that's why he got the job. Then the telegram came. The Roan Antelope Copper Mine wanted him. Working there for a while, he took leave, returned to Scotland to marry his sweetheart, my mother, and returned back to Northern Rhodesia. And that's where I was born. With all my dad's wanderings and being a mineral mining man, he gathered up a collection of mineral specimens and semi-precious stones from all over the place. It became the biggest private collection of its sort in the world and is now housed in the Edinburgh Museum. I often get asked where my musical leaning came from. Well, in spite of being a warrior and a wanderer, my dad was very musical. His father and mother were musical, and my grandfather was a poet. My mother was also very musical, and two of my cousins on my mother's side were well-known leaders of Scottish country music bands. I can remember after work one day, my dad went into the pantry and pulled out his fiddle and began to play. Then every evening he would do the same thing, go to the pantry, get out his fiddle and start playing. I wondered why this was, just to keep the noise away, but I think he had a secret bottle of whiskey stashed somewhere in the shelves. But jokes aside, he played beautifully Scottish jigs. And he was no slouch at reciting poetry. He was the chief of the Northern Rhodesian Caledonian Society and was always asked to recite probably the longest poem in history, the one written by Aberdonian poet and songwriter called Dr. David Rory. The poem was called Tam and the Leeches, and it had hundreds and hundreds of verses. Of course, David Rory wrote many poems before and during the World War I. He actually served in the Royal Medical Corps with my uncle. His poems go back to the Boer War and during the Siege of Ladysmith. The poem that kept the besieged soldiers in high spirits was The Lum Hat Wa' Oota Kroon, translated into straight English, means the top hat without a crown. It must have been a very amusing poem, and long. Going back to when I was at school, I loved poetry, and at recital time I was able to recite long poems like Young Lochinvar. As a singer, I am sometimes able to sing songs with four or five verses. Perhaps I inherited this ability from my dad. Well, I hope, folks, I didn't bore you with a little bit of background to my heritage. Next week, I have some very interesting stories for you. So, in the meantime, keep an eye on my website. Don't forget to like and subscribe to my YouTube channel. And if you need any of my songs, they're available on most popular platforms. You may like to listen to my song about my dad, Toast to Harry. And possibly view the video, The Last Days of Steam. It must have been a train like what my dad, and a ship like what my dad travelled on. Till then, folks, it's cheerio, tot ziens, goodbye, salagashli, shalom, and zvakanaka.